wonderful camp. Hallelujah. It's an honor, privilege of mine and also my wife and four boys to be here. And to be a part of this camp meeting this week. It's a high honor to share this pulpit with Elder Martin, that has meant so much in my life. And I thank God for him and his example to all of us. And all the ministers that are part of this meeting, I don't take it lightly that I would be invited to come here and try to be a little part of this camp. I'm expecting the Lord to touch people's lives. I believe that there are very important moments in our life. All moments are not created equal. And it's on services like tonight and times in our life when we come together in a camp like this that people's destiny can really, really be changed. Decisions can be made that just, you just take a turn in your life. And it just affects the rest of your life. I want the turn to be good, don't you? Hallelujah. I remember about 40 years ago, and that seems to be a long, long time, but about 40 years ago, maybe a little longer than that, at a youth camp, that God got a hold of my life. I'd received the Holy Ghost when I was 8 years old, but I was in my teenage years and kind of drifting and floating and had ambitions. But God brought things together in my life. And it was after service one night. I went to the dorm and was laying there and in my bed and tears in my eyes. And just happened to have a dean over our dorm that night that was my pastor's son. And I was able to go to him and ask him, would you go pray? And that night, back at the old tabernacle in Texas, I made a commitment to the Lord. And everything changed in my life. My value system changed. I went home and started reaching out to be a witness and run a bus route. And that's where it all started. A burden in my heart to try to help somebody else prepare for eternity. And so I believe the Lord's going to speak to people here this week. I refuse to try to sermonize this week and try to preach a sermon for preachers. I am here to try to reach. And I know, I guess this is a family camp, but it looks like there's more the younger people here tonight than anybody else. And I know tonight I'm going to try to reach out and touch you tonight. I want the Lord to speak to us tonight. God to talk to all of us tonight. And I've just kind of been in limbo in what direction to go. But I feel like I know what the Lord wants in this place tonight. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 8. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 8. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou goest into Zorah. Then Lot chose unto him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. This was a determining time in the life of a young man by the name of Lot. And when we read the rest of his life story, it is a very, very sad story of the decisions that he made and where he ended up, how it affected his wife, his family, his children. And I want to tell you, what we do is going to affect people around us. Daddies and mothers here tonight, the decisions that you make are going to affect not just you, but those that are around you, and young people that are here tonight. What happens on a service like tonight is going to have an impact in eternity. Hallelujah. God's going to talk to us tonight. How many believes that? Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let's pray right now. God, in Jesus' name, we love you, we praise you, we believe you, God, that you're in the midst of what's going on. We pray, God, that you would speak to us and touch us tonight, God. Let a holy anointing be in this place tonight, God. Anoint me in my mind and my heart. Enable me beyond my ability, God, to reach out and touch the heartstrings of every young person and individual that's in this house tonight, God. Hallelujah. We are believing you tonight, God. In the name of the Lord. Let's lift our hands and thank the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So good to have my wife and my boys with me this week. I'm so honored to have them with us this week. God bless you. You can be seated. Every individual that's in this building tonight is on a journey. We're headed somewhere. There are things that are happening in our life on a daily basis that is slowly determining our destiny. Folks so many times feel that what they're doing now is not really that valuable. And I know the devil would like to devalue the importance of tonight in choices and decisions and what's going to happen this night and the next four nights of our life. But I believe that eternity is looking in on this building tonight. And I believe that I'm preaching to young people and I'm preaching to adults here tonight that your life is swiftly passing and you're headed somewhere. You're going somewhere. And I want to ask you tonight, where are you headed? What's happening in your life? What's going on in your mind and deep down inside of you that maybe mother and daddy doesn't know anything about? Maybe you haven't talked to your pastor about maybe some things that are developing in your life, but things are happening. Where are you going? Where are you headed? What will your destiny be when life is over with? When I talk about where you're headed, I'm not talking about where you're headed as far as a job or as far as an education, or I'm not talking about just financially where you would like to be in a few years from now, or maybe as far as a family and being married and these decisions that you would make. But I'd like for you to look at your life and think of, where am I going? Where am I going to end up when life is over with? It's all in how you finish and the last chapter that is written in your life. But I want to tell you, people don't just end up in a certain either saved or lost situation by accident. A lot of times we would like to think that, life is kind of like a game and you just live and you don't really know what's going to happen and how it's going to unfold. And there's some people that they end up in heaven and there's other people that they end up in hell. But I want to tell you, there's a God that's involved in our life. And there's a God that is influencing and affecting and setting the stage for decisions to be made and for us to form values in our life. And as days turn into weeks and weeks to months and months to years, we are determining how life is going to end and the situation that we're going to find ourselves in when life is all over again. Hallelujah. According to the Bible, there's one of two places that we're going to end up. We're either going to be in heaven or we're going to be in hell. How many believes that? How many believes the Bible's right? The Bible is the only authority upon eternity and our eternal destiny. And so the most important question that we could ask in our life tonight is, where am I headed? With what's going on and decisions that I'm making and the choices that I'm making and things that I'm allowing to happen in my life and the desires of my life. What am I becoming and what am I going to end up being when life is all over with? Hallelujah. When you look at the life of Lot and you look at how his life ended and you look at the chaos and the storm and the problems and the troubles. When you look at a wife that turns and looks back and she becomes a pillar of salt, and you look at the daughters that were left in Sodom while he had begged them at their doorstep to get out and that warned them that the angels of the Lord had come and visited with him and fire and brimstone was coming in the morning, and they laughed and looked at him as one that just jested. The feeling that he had when he had to leave their home and realize that he had lost his effect as a father in their life. And then to see as the story progresses and he and two of his daughters get out, he ends up in a terrible, sinful situation with his two other daughters and their children that are born as a result of that terrible night of drunkenness. And these children, they bring into existence two nations that are thorns in the flesh of God's people for centuries. How in the world does a man make such a mess out of such a short life? I want to tell you, it's not an accident the way that people end up in life. It's just the process of things that determine our destiny. I want to preach to you tonight about three things that will determine your destiny. I want to try to show you tonight that life doesn't have to end up in a surprising way. And really, when you look at the way that life develops, it's not like that. It's not that just some people, they get the breaks in life and they're saved and they make good and they live a happy life and they live a fruitful life and there's peace in their family and in their home. And then there's other people that seems that everything that they touch turns into a storm and turns into something dark and terrible. And their life is shattered. And they live they leave a trail of a disappointment and sorrow. Hallelujah. It's not an accident. It's not an accident when a man, hallelujah, gets to the end of life's journey and he's laying on a hospital bed and tubes are running in and out of his body and medical science is doing everything they can to preserve his life. And yet, his family, if they are there, there's no real love lost. And there's just bad memories and terrible things that have happened. And man dies with God not on the premises and with the blessings of God far away. And hell and hell's demons come to claim that individual's life. Hallelujah. It's not an accident when another man dies and it seems that in the last moments of his life, as his heart is beating its last beat, hallelujah, it seems like the brush of angels' wings can be felt and the glory of God fills the place. And his children, the God-fearing, stand around his bedside with tears rolling down their cheeks, knowing they're going to miss their daddy, but knowing that everything's all right between him and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, things that determine your destiny.
The story of Lot is a very sad story. It's the story of a young man that started out with so many promising things. He was so blessed of the Lord. He had an advantage in life as far as having a knowledge of God and the things of God. He was Abraham's nephew, and Abraham was a man that walked with God. He was called the father of the faithful. He talked face to face with God. God came and ate at his table one day. And God, because he looked at Abraham as a friend, warned him of the impending judgment and doom upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Young Lot had sat at the fire of Abraham, no doubt as the sun would set in the evening time, and they would have their devotional services, and God was there, and Abraham had a vision of things to come, and God had made him promises of a great heritage and a great family, and he sought a city whose builder and maker was God. Hallelujah. Here Lot had an inside track upon what God was doing in the hour that he was a part of. There was really no reason for Lot to have not been a great man of God and have impacted the work of God and the kingdom of God as his uncle Abraham did. But yet it seems that with this man's life, he never seemed to really catch on to the punchline of what was going on. Hallelujah. He sat in services, and he was around the presence of God, and he had an insight through his uncle Abraham about God and the things of God. But it seemed like even though that he had all of these advantages, Lot was a man that never cultivated a real desire, a personal desire to have the things of God in his life. And, hallelujah, I'm glad that I'm in a tremendous youth camp tonight and a camp meeting tonight. And I feel God in this place. And, hallelujah, I thank God I'm in a place where things are done right. And the blessings of God is in what's going on around here. I'm looking at the faces of young people that are blessed in a society of godless young people that don't understand so much about the things of God and the blessings of God. And for you to be able to share in this congregation tonight and feel what we've already felt on this first night and to realize that we've got several days ahead of us where we're kind of in our own little special area. Hallelujah, with the world outside there and hallelujah, opportunities to make dedications and opportunities to, if we have the Holy Ghost, to pray through all over again, and if we don't have the Holy Ghost, to get the sweet Holy Ghost deep down on the inside of our life. I want to tell you the possibilities are unbelievable tonight. What God can do in the lives of men and women and boys and girls in this place. I'm looking for the Holy Ghost outpouring this week. I believe God's going to speak to us. I believe that God's going to give young people an opportunity to take a big step forward and to make some choices and to make some decisions. But can I tell you one of the greatest things that's going to determine your destiny and even what happens in your heart and life this weekend is going to be desire. Everybody say desire. Hallelujah. Lot had so many advantages. Hallelujah. To be around the great father Abraham. And yet we find a young man that seemed to be wrapped up in his own agenda. He never created a desire in his heart for the things of God. Here he was, a young man that never built an altar. He tried to just lean on Uncle Abraham's experience. He never got it for himself. He was around it, but it never got on the inside of him. He was exposed to it, but he never cultivated a hunger and a desire. Hallelujah, to live for God. Hallelujah. I've seen so many young people in our church and working with them and dealing with them. I've seen some young people that didn't have the advantages that other young people had. I think of some of the kids that have come in out of terrible backgrounds and mamas and daddies that didn't serve God and live for God. In fact, some of them don't even have mothers and daddies even on the premises of their life. And they come to church because they choose to come to church. And I've seen young people come and get the Holy Ghost, and they were in an environment at home that was not conducive to live for God and serve God. A home where there was a television set playing 24 hours a day, and filthy magazines in the magazine rack, and older brothers and sisters on drugs and trying to expose them to immorality and sin. And I've seen young people create a desire in their heart and cultivate a want to in their life. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what my daddy does. It doesn't matter what my mother does. It does not matter, hallelujah, the environment that is around me. I'm going to do right. I'm going to live for God because I want to live for God. I made a choice to live for God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And it's amazing that you can look in the same church and you can see other young people that they've got some of those godly parents that's trying to teach them every day and trying to train them and trying to get them to pray and creating an atmosphere in the home where everything is right. They want their home to be a sanctified home. They watch every magazine that comes in their house. Hallelujah. They make sure what's going on in their house. There's not a television there. Hollywood is not welcome there. If there's an internet around anywhere, they're going to be watching and making sure that everything is done right. And we're going to make you accountable. And we're going to try to help you do what's right. But you know what? I've seen young people that had a mother and a daddy and a pastor and a church pulling for them and Sunday school teachers pulling for them. Oh, yes, there are some that have better advantages in the church. Hallelujah. I've seen kids like this. If they come to the altar, hallelujah, the church family just immediately runs up and prays around them and tries to encourage them and begs them. Come on, live for God. Serve God. But can I tell you something, young person? It doesn't matter the advantages that you have and the blessings of God that you have. If you don't create a desire in your heart, oh, I want to live for God. I want to do what's right. It doesn't matter. You can take the blessings of God and turn them into stepping stones to hell. You've got to create a desire to do right. Hallelujah, God help us tonight. Hallelujah, we believe in the importance of a good environment. We believe in keeping our homes right. Godly parents believe in trying to give their children advantages in living for God and trying to put them in a good atmosphere. I watch the people my boys run with. I watch their friends and I watch what's going on in their life because I want them to live for God and I want them to have an advantage in serving God and living for God. You know something? People's got to have a desire to do what they want, they need to do. Hallelujah. You look at Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. When everything was perfect and everything was handed to them and everything was just right, God Himself looked at it and said, it is good. But there came a day in their life, hallelujah, when they took the blessings of God and they just sold out. And hallelujah, they listened to the serpent and they partook of the forbidden fruit of all the trees in the garden and everywhere they could have been in that garden eating the fruit of those trees that God had designed for them. They was at one, they were in the one place that God told them to stay away from there. Don't eat of the fruit of that tree, and that's exactly what they done. Hallelujah, they were in a good environment and turned it into an environment full of sin. Hallelujah, we can give people a good environment and good advantages, but unless you have a desire in your heart, you're not going to serve the Lord. I'm glad there's some things more valuable, hallelujah, than advantage and a good atmosphere, hallelujah, and a good environment, and that is when you cultivate mandate in your life. I'm going to live for God. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. If my mother and my daddy go to hell, I'm going to be saved myself. If my brothers and my sisters backslide, if my youth group try to get me to do things that I don't need to do, I've made up in my mind I'm going to serve the Lord. I want to stir up a desire in some young person's heart tonight. Hallelujah. I'm going to get a prayer line. I'm going to pray through. I'm going to get full of the Holy Ghost this week. I'm going to cultivate a desire to become what God wants me to become. Hallelujah. Help us tonight, God. Desire is going to determine your destiny. Another thing that determined the destiny of Lot was his decisions in life. Hallelujah. He made some decisions that were wrong decisions. He came to the crossroads of life and he looked at the well-watered plains of Jordan. And we look at the decision that he made. He made a decision for personal advantage. He was a young man that did not stop to ask the question, what is best? And even to inquire of his uncle Abraham and to honor him as his elder. What do you think I ought to do? But he looked at things from a natural standpoint. And he looked at the well-watered plains of Jordan. And he wasn't interested in the will of God and the plan of God and the kingdom of God. He was not kingdom conscious. He was interested in an advantage in this life. And so, hallelujah, he was interested in the now. He was interested in what he could deduct as far as from the carnal mind. And hallelujah, we need to be making decisions in the light of eternity. I want to tell you, decisions can cause a door to swing in one direction or another. And the door of destiny swings on small hinges. I've seen people make a decision that affected their life for the rest of their life. I've seen people make a decision that was such a terrible decision for the rest of their life. They might live 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 or 40 years, but you could not look at their face if you knew them and was acquainted with them and not think of the decision that they had made in their life. I believe it's important what's going on at this camp meeting tonight. I believe there are people here that the hand of God is reaching out. God's going to try to shake somebody's world tonight. God's going to try to wake some young man up that's been toying with things in your mind that nobody knows anything about. You've hid it from your mama and you've hid it from your daddy, and the devil's trying to write hell's property over your soul tonight. But I want to try to help you shake the devil off your back tonight. Hallelujah. I want something to get a hold of you that'll cause you to make a decision to run down to an altar of repentance and fall at the cross of Jesus Christ and say, my God, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be lost. I can't afford to make the decision that I'm making. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Decisions determine destiny. I got a phone call early yesterday morning about someone that had passed from this life that is related to me. A first cousin of mine in the state of Arkansas. And my mind went back to about 25 years ago when I sat in their house and I opened up the Word of the Lord and I told them and taught them this beautiful plan of salvation. They had never seen it before, but they saw it that night, and God dealt with them and God spoke to them. But even though that their eyes was open and there was a divine revelation that came to their lives, when it came to making that clear-cut decision, they stood in the valley of decision and they procrastinated and they drug their feet and they put off responding to what they ought to have responded to that night. Hallelujah. I imagine the next day and the next week and the next month that it may have seemed that life did not change, that things were just back to normal, and days turned into weeks and weeks to months and months to years. And I get a phone call yesterday morning, and hallelujah, that this lady had passed out of this world into eternity. Hallelujah. Sometimes we don't realize the importance of a decision, one decision that is made in a moment's time. Hallelujah. But here was a man by the name of Lot that he looked at the well-watered plains of Jordan and he calculated in his own mind what was best for him. I don't find him praying. I don't find him inquiring of the Lord. What is the will of God? Oh, it bothers me when people even in our churches that's been living for God for years will make major decisions in their life and never pray about it. They'll make a decision on taking a job or relocating or buying a home or making some kind of major decision that's going to affect their destiny, and yet they never inquire of the Lord. Oh, if we're God's people, our ears ought to be opened. Our eyes ought to be open. We ought to have our antenna up. We ought to be praying. There's a lot of people in trouble in Pentecost tonight because they made decisions that they never inquired of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord. The Bible says some trust in horses and some trust in chariots. But I will trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Lean not into thine own understanding. Hallelujah. You can't trust your understanding. Somebody said, well, you know, I just feel in my heart. Well, boy, that's quite a statement to make. When the Bible says the heart is the most deceitful thing and desperately wicked, who can know it?
Holy Ghost Radio. We are Acts 2:38 Salvation Message compliant. Are you?
The Acts 2:38 message is the basic message of Christianity. If you don't believe that, I want to be nice to you, but I want you to tell me why you don't believe it. We don't have to explain to you why we believe it. You've got to explain to us why you don't believe it, because that's the man with the key.
Holy Ghost Radio. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?
And I'm not just trying to hype you up, but I want to tell you, this is one message that's not going down. It doesn't matter if it's pre-modern, modern, or post-modern. This message is hot, it's cutting edge, it's on the level, it's always going to be powerful. You can never outlive its power.
Visit our website at www.holyghostradio.com.
And if you want to be relevant, then preach Acts 2:38, because that's the message that's relevant to every generation.
In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Hallelujah. God wants to orchestrate your life, young man. Young lady, God wants to be in the big middle of what you're doing. We got young people here that's probably graduated this year. You're at a big time in your life. All moments are not created equally. Hallelujah. When we think of time, we really don't have a word in the English language like they do in the Greek that speaks of not just the passing of time, but a special time and a special moment. They're special moments. All moments are not created equally. And there's moments of time when you come to a crossroad, you come to a threshold, and you come to a place in life that what you do at that moment is going to have an impact. I believe that God wants to talk to somebody here tonight about a decision. He wants to let you know that He wants to direct thy path. I remember a few years ago, my wife was playing in the symphony. And I went to a concert and sitting out there waiting for the program to start. These musicians came onto the platform and they started warming up their instruments and tuning up and playing different parts of whatever they was going to play that night. And it just sounded like chaos. I mean, everybody was doing their own thing. And these were professional musicians, some of the best. But it wasn't a very beautiful, appealing thing to the ear to listen to. Because they were all playing different notes. They was all playing different songs. They was all doing something different. And it just sounded like just chaos. It sounded like a bunch of third graders that had never picked up an instrument before. But after they got all warmed up and they got all tuned up, and it was time for the performance to start, the conductor came and he took the podium and he took the baton and brought it up in the air. When he brought it down, he was given direction. He was given rhythm. They were all on the same page. They were all playing the same song, composition. And it was beautiful to hear because the same musicians that just a moments before, it was just chaos. And maybe they were playing all the right notes and whatever they were playing, but it just did not sound very good because everything was out of kilter. Some people live their whole life out of kilter. Sometimes it's not that they're doing things all that bad. They're just doing it out of time. They're ahead of God or they're behind God, or they're doing it just the way they want to do it, and they don't want God's direction in their life. Oh, how valuable it would be if all of a sudden here tonight there'd be some people that make up in their mind, hallelujah, I'm going to put God on the throne of my life for the rest of my life. God wants to be involved in what's happening in my world. God wants to orchestrate what's taking place in my life. I'm tired of just doing it my own way and being my own pastor, not listening to the man of God in my life, and not listening to my mother and my daddy and those that give me godly counsel. Oh, you talk about a beautiful life. You talk about things coming together. You talk about things unfolding. You talk about fruit being multiplied in your life. It's when you make up in your mind, the decisions that I'm making in life are important, and God wants to orchestrate the decisions of my life. Desire affects destiny. Decisions affect destiny. And then lastly tonight, direction affects destiny. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now, if Brother Pastor was there that day, paying a lot of visit, and he happened to see the direction the door of the tent was pointed in, I imagine the pastor would have been hard put to find scripture and verse for why he should not pitch his tent in the direction that just happened to be the direction of Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm sure that Pastor might have said, well, you know, I'm kind of uneasy about that tent door. Lot would have probably said, well, I mean, what's the big deal? I mean, it's the direction the wind blows at this time of the year, or it's the way the sun rides. Don't most people have an alibi? Hallelujah. When something deep and hidden and sinister is moving under the surface, and sometimes a pastor don't know how to get his hand on me. He just knows something's wrong. You go by and you shake their hand and you just feel something different. There's something not going on that's right. You know, I can't help people that just lives and deals in the shadows. I can't help people that are dishonest and people that are lying and people that just won't put everything on the table. You know, we can just about deal with anything, any problem, if people will come clean. Hallelujah. You can deal with immorality if people will come clean. Hallelujah, you can deal with some kind of terrible crime or some kind of terrible thing that, hallelujah, that would merit the death penalty in the Old Testament if people will come clean, because there's a power in Calvary. There's a power in the deliverance of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's a power in truth. There's a power in transparency. Hallelujah, when you quit playing these little games and hallelujah, you got your shifting eyes and you just never let some things come to the surface. It is a miserable life when people live like that. I want to tell you, the best thing to do is just come out to the front and say, here I am, God. Hallelujah. I want to be saved. I want you to work on me. Here I am, Pastor. I don't want to hide anything in my life. I want to be honest. I want to be transparent in my life. Hallelujah. 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 Compromise at Pentecost wants to devalue the importance of a direction. Hallelujah. They want to just talk about, well, you know, we're still a long ways from Sodom. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you, you need to thank God for a pastor that can look in the future and look at what tomorrow's going to bring and look at what's going to be down the road for you when you set a direction in your life. I remember several years ago, there was a family that I had stayed up almost all night, just uneasy about them. They was planning on building a house several miles away from the church, up in the hills of Georgia. He was a businessman, and he was busy with his business. But he said, I tell you what I figured out, I'm going to build a house up there, and I'm going to back off on my business, and we're going to end up being at church more than we were before. Well, I want to tell you, something just made me uneasy. I couldn't sleep. Hallelujah. Pastors know what it is to spend a night like that. And if you do doze off, when you wake up again, it's on your mind and there's just an uneasiness. I took the time to call them and go to their house and I sat down and I told them, I said, this is a wrong decision. You don't need to do this. Hallelujah. I'm afraid of what's going to happen. And they continued to explain to me the benefits and how much better it was going to be and how much better they were going to slow the business down. They'd be able to be a church. And they was going to get involved in church. They're lost tonight. They've lost everything. They've even lost the truth. They're in false doctrine tonight. You know, people don't just end up. They don't just end up shipwrecked overnight. Sometimes we look at it when it all comes together and we see the picture and we're shocked. And we say, my God, I'd never believe this. But I'm going to tell you, just get under the surface and look. There are no surprises. You know where you're headed tonight. You know what's going on in your heart tonight. I'm pretty sure some people here tonight that you look like you're headed to heaven, but you're on your way to hell. You're on your way out. Decisions and choices that are being made and desires that are being watered down and godly things that try to bring you back to God. You're strangling them out of your life and you're silencing the voice of God in your life. You see, people don't just go to hell just by accident. It's not just a spin of a wheel and say, well, you know, they were just real fortunate. The last moment of their life, they decided to get right. And this one, you know, they just got in a quick accident. They just died and went to hell. You see, God's involved in our life. There's nothing that happens in our life by accident. People don't accidentally go to hell. People do not accidentally go to heaven. But I want to tell you, when people end up in a certain way in their life, whatever they become, it is a composite of their desires and their decisions and their direction. You ever ask yourself the question, why is it that people that know God and the things of God, if they do backslide, why don't they just all come and find God and get right with God when life is coming to an end? I do believe the grace of God is there to save. But I'll tell you why they don't do it. Because they have become something. You don't spend your lifetime saying no, 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 no to conviction, to preaching, to Bible teaching, to Wednesday night service or Thursday night service or Sunday night services when God reaches for you. Pushing God off, pushing God off, pushing God off. You don't live a life like that and then at the end of the road say, come on God, I'm ready to go to heaven. You don't spend your life saying no, no, no to God and then by and large, at the end of life, say yes. I had an uncle and aunt that promised me years ago they lived for God. In fact, I go to their home and they were just godly people. I remember when they got offended and they walked out on God and they backslid. As a little child, I remember going to their home after they had got out of church and I was so shocked. They had a television. They just left the television on all the time. They'd gone back to the cigarettes. The house was full of cigarette smoke. The lights was almost all out. It was just depressing to step in their home. The change was so unbelievable what had happened from when they were in church and out of church. I preached a revival in their area and I went by several times inviting them. They'd be sitting out drinking. They were country folks and they were drinking themselves to death and I'd invite them to church and my uncle would always want to strike up a conversation about the Bible and prophecy. But he never wanted to get right. But they said, we know what's right. We know what's right. I got a call one day and my aunt was in the hospital and her body was swollen. Her liver and kidneys is all shutting down. And she'd been an alcoholic and they said she was going to die. I went to Galveston, Texas and prayed for her. All of a sudden God touched her and the fluid of her body. She lost about, I think, 14 pounds of fluid in just a few hours. And she got out of the hospital. And I went and talked to her and said, Aunt Joyce, you need to get right with God. Oh, I'm going to get right with God. Yeah. I know what I'm going to do. Finally went back to her drinking and finally ended up in the hospital again. I was preaching revival and I called my mother and she told me that my Aunt Joyce had died. They were there. I asked my mother, I said, did Aunt Joyce pray?
No, I didn't ever hear her pray. Did she call for a preacher? Her first cousin was the pastor in that area. Did she call for him? She had leaned on him through the years. As far as I know, she never called for him or any other Pentecostal preacher. She died without God. Seemingly, she died without praying a prayer. She died without calling the preacher. How can somebody that knows there's a heaven and knows there's a hell and knows they're backslid and knows they've trampled the blood of Jesus under their feet and spent their lifetime promising themselves, I'm going to get right with God. How can somebody like that stare death in the face and die without praying or whispering a prayer? Because you see, our desires and our decisions and our direction determine our destiny. Hallelujah. So this week, we're going to be making some choices. Heaven's going to be opening up for people. It's going to be important how you respond to God. More important than your problems. More important than what you've done. It's going to be important. Hallelujah. The desire that you stir up in your life. The decision that you make and the direction that you determine. You're not smart enough to make the right choices. Lot looked at the well-watered plains of Jordan and said, this is even as the garden of the Lord. He looked at Sodom and Gomorrah and compared it to the garden of Eden. He was looking at hell and calling it heaven. He was looking at a decision that was going to destroy him and was calling it an opportunity. Hallelujah. God help us tonight. Jesus' name. I want us to pray right now. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Shatayadabaha katayadabahai. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. 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 Oh God, oh God, oh God. Alabohokiyandayalabahasandayadabahai. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, Shanda Yalabohoki, Anda Yalabahasanda Yalabahai. In the name of the Lord, 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 in the name of the Lord. Come on, let's pray, let's pray, let's pray. Let me hear you pray tonight. Hallelujah, stir up that desire tonight as we all stand right now. Hallelujah. Somebody's fighting for their life because they've allowed other desires to grow in their heart. Hallelujah. There's things crying out to be satisfied. They've come to a youth camp. They've come to a camp meeting. Hallelujah. Where they can get past that thing that's eating on them. It's working on them. Hallelujah, hallelujah, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Where are you going? Where are you going, young man? What are you going to do when you get there? Are you running toward a dead end street? No future. Hallelujah. Oh, let's run to God tonight. Let's run to obedience and service in our church. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to find what you want out of my life. I want to fulfill the calling of God. I want this week to be a week of renewal and revival, God. I want to go home different. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. I don't want to pitch my tent towards Sodom. Hallelujah. People get in Sodom one step at a time. It's not overnight. It's not overnight. It's weeks and months and years.